Thank you for downloading this presentation of Short Play Podcast. Our podcast takes short plays and converts them to an audio format. This presentation, Buttercup Golden, is a one-act play, originally produced in 2016. It takes place in the living room of a suburban household. You're now listening to part two. If you haven't yet listened to part one, please go back and listen to them in order. We'll wait. Enjoy the show.
She looks tired.
Maybe she can get a nap in today.
I'm serious.
What do you think the whole Frank thing is about?
Obviously, she's considering breaking up with him.
Obviously?
Duh.
I'm not sure that's it.
Trust me, a mother knows.
Then why not just tell us about it?
Because she's not 100% sure yet.
Then why not just talk it through with us?
Because, just in case she decides to not break up with him, she won't want to explain herself to us.
So what do we do?
We wait until she confides in us.
Seriously?
Of course not. We see if any of her old passwords still work, and then we try to log into her Facebook account, her email, and see if that tells us anything.
You're evil. You know this, right?
It's our daughter. If she's in any pain, we need to be there for her.
Even if she doesn't want us there?
Especially then.
I don't think we should hack into her email or Facebook. That seems a bit extreme. Let's not do that, okay?
You just expect me to sit around and just wait for the information to come to me?
Or we can just wait for Frank to come over and grill him. Frank, come on in. Since when do you knock?
Hey, Frank, it's been too long. Let me look at you. You look... Frank, have you been eating? You look a bit thin.
Hi, Miss Rana. Yeah, I've lost a few pounds.
You'd think with all that pizza you've been eating lately, you'd not be losing any weight.
Pizza?
Come in, sit down. Can I get you a coffee?
No, thank you, Miss Rana.
How about a pastry? A bear claw, perhaps?
That smells delicious. I love Toscanis.
Don't eat the bear claw. I licked that one already.
You...
licked it. I claimed it, son. If it were a tree, I would have peed on it to establish possession and territory. But since I plan on eating it soon, I did the next best thing and licked it.
How about something else from the box?
Yeah, I think maybe I'll pass.
Good call. Hardly enough to go around, really. I don't think Bailey planned on seeing you this morning. I'm sure if you had told her you were coming, she would have bought extra.
It's okay. I had a late dinner. And to be honest, I'm still kind of full.
Domenico's Pizza, right?
No. Kelly's Steakhouse with my folks last night. I haven't had Domenico's in ages. Anyway, is Bailey around?
She's showering right now. Should be down in a few.
Would you mind if I ran upstairs to wait for her?
Well, I
wouldn't do that if I were you, Frank.
Okay.
It's just, we've been getting a lot of lectures from her lately about her personal space, and it might be best if you wait until she's done.
Wouldn't really be proper for an unmarried young lady to entertain a man in her room, or, heaven forbid, in her shower. Now, would it? Especially my little buttercup, fresh out of her morning shower.
Why don't you wait down here with us, Frank? We never get to see you anymore.
Yes, Frank, wait with us. Let's kill some time with conversation and coffee.
Well,
I can still hear the water running.
She takes very long showers.
Very long showers.
Practically doesn't come out until all the hot water is gone.
Terribly long showers, really.
Sometimes I think untawdry things happen during those long showers.
David!
Long showers, that's all I'm saying.
So, Frank, you had dinner with your folks last night?
Yes, ma'am.
How are they? I've been meaning to try Kelly's. I heard the service was slow.
Not bad, really. My steak was a bit undercooked, but besides that, it was okay.
Well, I heard service was slow during peak hours on a Saturday. Were you there during peak hours?
I guess so. We went around 8.
So you were finished around 10?
Bit earlier.
Do anything after?
No. Just went to bed. Fell asleep almost as soon as my head hit the pillow.
Seems to me that Saturday nights used to be date night. You and Bailey used to go out every Saturday night.
Yeah, the good old days of college.
Lord, has it been since college you and Bailey went out on a Saturday night?
Of course not. No, what's it been? 4 or 5 months since Bailey started having to work Saturday nights?
God, it seems just like yesterday. Has it really been that long?
Yeah, 5 months, I think.
You must miss having her sleep over every Saturday. I miss having our house to ourselves every once in a while, to be honest.
Well, I keep asking her to move in, but she says with the long hours she's working, it's just easier for her to stay here.
She's working way too hard. Too many hours, I say.
I tell her the same thing. In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm here this morning.
It is.
I'm sure she's mentioned the issues we've been having.
Of course she has, Frank. You know how close we are.
Well, I'm not really going to give her an ultimatum, but I need her to understand that if we're going to be husband and wife, she's got to be a lot more committed to us than she has been.
How so, Frank?
Well, obviously, we should be spending a lot more time together than we are presently.
Obviously. And certainly that seems fair.
Exactly. And she has to make as big a commitment to me as she made to her job at the paper. It's keeping her away from spending any time with me, keeping her out until all hours. We barely see each other anymore.
She's not meeting your needs, is she, Frank?
Not at all, sir. And I don't mean sexually. We've spent less than 4 hours together all month.
Almost makes you wonder what she's been doing with all her time.
More than wonder.
What do you mean?
I've considered following her. I mean, I know it's silly to think she's been sneaking around behind my back, but I'm starting to get a bit paranoid.
Yes, her sneaking around behind your back would make you paranoid.
Not that she's sneaking.
Certainly not sneaking. I mean, it's not like she's been lying to you about what she's doing every Saturday night.
Of course she isn't. She's working.
Hard at work. Not lying to people she loves about where she's been, what she's been doing, who she's with.
If she were lying to people she loves about where she's been, what she's been doing, who she's been with, I am sure it is for a very, very good reason.
There's a good reason for lying?
Sometimes there are good reasons for lying.
Am I missing something here?
Oh, Frank, what are you doing here?
Haven't seen you all week. I was hoping to surprise you. Surprise.
Yes, dear. Frank hasn't seen you at all this week. What with you working all night and every Saturday night, he misses you.
Maybe we should give the kids a little alone time.
Maybe we should. But, sweetie, Frank is concerned that you've been lying to him about where you've been lately.
Well, I didn't say that exactly.
He feels hurt that you'd lie to him. He thought he could trust you.
But he knows you've always been quite trustworthy, and really, he just wants to establish an open dialogue with you. Without your parents interfering.
He's here to offer an ultimatum to you.
Well, not really an ultimatum per se.
No, it's most definitely an ultimatum.
No, I just wanted to say that...
Man up, Frank.
Well, Miss Raina, I don't really feel all that comfortable doing this right here and right now.
You don't feel comfortable telling someone you love that they need to be honest with you? That because you love them, you want to know what they're up to? That you want to be able to share in their lives, even just a little? That you want to know if they're hurt or in pain, and you want to share their victories and their struggles?
I was just hoping we could spend some time together, Bailey. It's been a while.
Let's leave the kids alone. I'm sure Frank wants to say how much he trusts Bailey, respects her rights to be her own person, and recognizes that she is all grown up now and doesn't have to tell her parents everything. Isn't that right, Frank?
I'm pretty sure I'm missing something.
You're missing a lot, Frank.
Well, I'm missing you, that's for sure.
Mom, Dad, I miss you guys.
What about me?
I'll get back to you, Frank.
You miss us. You see us every day.
And you see me every day. And I have a feeling that even though you see me every day, you aren't really seeing me. I'm not blaming you. It's my fault. Remember when I asked you to give me a bit of space until I have everything figured out? I think I'm mostly there, but I need to know that no matter what lies I told, I need to know that no matter what happens, you will respect me and have my back.
Of course. I thought you could tell me anything.
I can. I will in time. Please, Mom.
Of course.
Always.
I'm really missing something here.
You are, Frank. You're missing a lot.
Like,
my parents are upset because I haven't been coming home on Saturday nights or even most Friday nights.
You were working?
Yes.
At the paper?
Not quite.
Then what?
I have a side job, something that takes a lot of my spare time.
Like what, a waitress? Why don't you tell me if you're tight on cash? I'd help. You're my fiancé. You don't need to take a second job.
First job, really. I quit the paper a few months ago.
What?
It was getting in the way of what I really wanted to do.
But you have another job.
More like a calling.
You're going to become a nun?
No, Daddy, no. It's just a job that, well, speaks to me on a more basic and primal level.
Why didn't you tell us?
Well, that's where it gets a bit more complicated.
Then explain it. If you want to.
Are you seeing someone else?
No.
Are you a stripper?
No.
Turning tricks?
No.
Well then, I'm cool. Sweetie, let's leave the kids alone.
So, are we going to be spending more time together or not?
Probably not. Mom, Dad, I am an artist. I have a studio and I do paintings and I sell my paintings and that's what I do. I'm an artist.
But you never...
I know, right?
And why would you want to hide that from us?
Maybe because it's stupid? Really stupid. I've seen you draw. I've seen your doodles. You can't even draw a duck. Are you kidding me? An artist? Every time I ask to talk to you about your wedding, you say you want to save more money for it. Jesus, Bailey. Are you kidding me? That's so irresponsible. I thought you were serious about your career, about us. I thought maybe our rough patch last year was just that. A rough patch.
You don't get it. Being an artist allows me to express myself.
Being an artist allows you to be poor.
Frank.
Being an artist allows you to ignore your fiancé. And your family.
Being an artist allows me to become who I am.
And who is that?
Let me grab my laptop. There's something on YouTube you need to see. Just watch this.
On tonight's program, we're going to focus on one of the hottest and newest ingenues to grace the New York art scene. A young lady going by the name of Buttercup Golden, who presently requires a degree of anonymity, refusing most requests for interviews and absolutely refusing to be filmed or photographed.
I'm not trying to be difficult. It's just, well, what I do makes it seem like a good idea that I hide my face.
With an obvious and somewhat pedestrian nom de plume of Buttercup Golden, it's difficult to fathom how a virtual unknown has been plucked from obscurity and catapulted onto the creme de la creme of art collectors and critics, both in the US and abroad. A darling of private collectors with last names like Getty and Astor, Buttercup presents her work free of pretense and lacking any pomp. She is the girl next door, the everywoman of the art world, but has become a darling of the sophisticates and bourgeoisie.
I'm still not exactly sure what a bourgeoisie is.
It all began in the lobby of Fieldcrest Software, a commissioned mural with the cheeky title of Oh My God, I Cannot Believe I'm Doing This. In her first ever public work, Buttercup created a landscape of form and function using paints and her own naked body. The result was an ethereal micro-world of colors and body parts, catching the eye of billionaire philanthropist and art collector Reginald Getty IV. Reginald commissioned a series of prints and lithographs currently on display at his private gallery.
Reggie was a sweet guy that made suggestions about what body parts he wanted to see me work with. Okay, that makes it sound creepy, but really, Reggie was sweet.
The New York art world nearly instantly found its newest darling, with her very first work recognized both locally and internationally for its edge and importance. Her next publicly released piece, entitled Side Boob, was a complex statement about the double standard the media places on women in particular, and established Buttercup as both an artist and an intellectual leader in the art world.
Side boob wasn't just side boobs. It was under boob too, and some over boob. Even some elbows by the time I was done.
Buttercup had the first of two major transformations earlier in the year when she produced a work called Tits and Clits. The first time she had developed a duality of themes in her work. This proved to be a pivotal turning point in her growth as an artist, no longer limiting herself to just one area of the body, opening the world to her of combinations, partnerships, and marriages of form and function.
I learned a good bit about color there too, like never use red for a vagina painting.
Her last big turning point came with her most recent work entitled Chicks and Dicks. In this very important piece, Buttercup stepped away from using only her own naked body and added a second person to her art.
It wasn't my original idea to include another person, but I was rolling around on the canvas and I got hungry and ordered a pie from Domenico's. Anyway, the guy that delivered it, I used to date in high school, and he had this simply amazing penis. So I slathered on some blue paint and kind of swung it at the canvas a few times.
With the addition of Chicks and Dicks to her portfolio of original works, along with others far too many to name, Buttercup Golden has made a name for herself as the premier artist using canvas, paints, and naked bodies. but a couple will be showing at the Schlitz Gallery in the Upper East Side throughout this coming May.
I'm gonna go ahead and give you all a few minutes to digest all that.
So, you're...
Buttercup Golden?
That's me.
Is it because I call you Buttercup?
Exactly.
And my maiden name?
Yes, in honor of you both. Buttercup for Dad and Golden for you, Mom.
I'm honored.
Really, Daddy? You're okay with this?
What's not to be okay with? My baby is an artist, an icon within the arts community.
A nude icon?
An icon by any other name.
Rolling around naked on a canvas.
Raina.
Mom.
Yes, my love.
Are you okay with this?
Are you?
I am. I really am. It started out as an accident, but now, well, it's awesome. Are you?
Whatever makes you happy. I'm okay with whatever makes you happy.
Well, I'm not. I'm not happy about it one fucking bit. In fact, I am unfucking happy with it in the largest sense possible.
That's a real shame, Frank. You and I should talk about that.
Yes, we should. Maybe your folks are okay with their daughter sliming around on a mat, naked and covered in paint. But I'm not okay with it. You're my fiancé, which should mean something.
Then, by all means, let's discuss this, Frank. Let's get it resolved.
Maybe your mother and I should leave.
We'll be upstairs if you need us.
We hope you've enjoyed this performance of Short Play Podcast. You've just enjoyed part 2 of Buttercup Golden. Please search out part 3 so you can continue the saga. Buttercup Golden was written by Marty Matfis and performed by Marty, Chris Bailey, Annalisa Rogers, Courtney Daniel Westman, and Juliana Johnson. Special thank you to Le Chat Noir, the Black Box Theater in Augusta, Georgia, for providing warehouse space to record. Extra special thank you to bensound.com for providing royalty-free music. If you have a short play you'd like to hear converted to audio, please email it to us at shortplaypodcast@gmail.com. Please consider subscribing, and by all means, please share our podcast with your friends. Thank you for your support.